are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And ladies and gentlemen, your Timberwolves are 3-0. Let that sink in. This was perhaps, almost surely, the least talked about team on a national level for the entirety of the offseason, or at least after the Wolves were unable to land D'Angelo Russell way back before the 4th of July. And since then, nobody was talking about the Timberwolves. Nobody. I don't know that there were even very many Timberwolves fans or blogs or anybody that talks about the Timberwolves on a national level with any frequency that expected them to have a notable season. It was kind of figured to be a middle of the pack. You know, worst case scenario was probably low 30s wins. Best case was high 40s wins. And that's still probably the range, but a 3-0 start with Karl-Anthony Towns putting up absurd numbers and Andrew Wiggins doing positive things at the end of close games. And suddenly people are talking about the Wolves. And now, as we'll talk about here in a moment, there's kind of crazy talk, quite honestly, of the Wolves being the best team in the league so far. And the Timberwolves are being ranked in the top five of power rankings from reputable news sources. We'll get to that here in a moment. We'll also spend a few minutes today talking about which Wolves players have their stock pointing up through a week of play and who's been disappointing thus far in a little bit of a stock up, stock down game. Although, admittedly, it's been three games. So the whole small sample size theater thing applies to everything we're going to talk about today. Although at least we're talking about real games and not preseason. So we'll get to all those things here in a moment. First, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the biggest takeaways from the Wolves 3-0 start. So we're going to jump right into that. The cliff notes, if you're catching up, the Wolves are 3-0 by virtue of an overtime win in Brooklyn on opening night. They overcame that 50-point performance from Kyrie Irving in his Nets debut. And then they won in Charlotte on Friday night that saw the Wolves fall behind by a score of 19-4 to the Hornets before they turned things around in a big way, really pulling away from the Hornets late in the second half. And ultimately they won by 22 points, held Charlotte under the century mark. And Towns had a second consecutive dominating performance and was the story once again. And then Sunday, the Miami Heat came to Target Center for the home opener. Although Jimmy Butler missed the game, it was his third game that he missed due to the birth of his daughter. So congrats to Jimmy. And it's too bad that he wasn't there for the home opener on Sunday. This time against the Heat, the Wolves led by double digits in the first half. The Heat surged back and pulled ahead by double digits themselves early in the fourth quarter. And then, stop me if you've heard this before, but you surely haven't, Jeff Teague and Andrew Wiggins got aggressive and led the Wolves to the win down the stretch after Towns had a hot start to the game. He had 13 or 15 points in the first quarter, really cooled down. He made like two of his next nine shots, I think it was, and the Heat were double teaming him on the catch, and things were slowing down just a little bit on the offense, offensive end of the floor for the Wolves. And Teague took the bull by the horns, got aggressive, made a couple floaters in the lane and really without hesitation, which is strange for the Jeff Teague that Wolves fans have known over the past season, season plus, I guess, dating back to late in the season 2 years ago when they made the playoffs. And then once he did that, he actually shot and made a three-pointer and then made another couple shots inside the arc and then kind of ended up closing the game out from the free throw line. He scored north of 20 points and he only, I think, attempted 8 field goals on the night. So easily Jeff Teague's best game in what feels like forever. And certainly, you know, he didn't have very many of those last year when he suffered through injuries and only played in half the games. So Teague was a big takeaway on Sunday. And then Andrew Wiggins is the huge story. If you paid any attention at all over the past 48 hours or so, Andrew Wiggins started the season 0-for-13 from beyond the arc, finally made a three-pointer in a close late situation against Miami, and then lo and behold, made three more right after that, had a tough runner, kind of a baseline, like a weird scoop shot that went almost hit the rafters at Target Center and dropped through, and then had his flurry of threes, including the one where he went isolation on a Heat check against, I think it was Duncan Robinson of the Heat, and dropped in a three from the corner or from the left wing, I guess, just below the break. And it was the maybe the only time I've seen an entire bench come on the floor to mob somebody like they hit a game winner when there was still nearly 2 minutes left in the game. But Wiggins finally got hot, and we'll talk more about him here in a minute, and stock up, stock down, believe it or not. So, you know, the high points, I guess, over the first three games are obviously the team's 3-0. Towns crushed it the first two games and had a more pedestrian but still solid third game. Wiggins was the opposite, had really 2.5 miserable games. I guess he had a few strong plays at the end of the Brooklyn game, but overall shot the ball poorly in that one. And finished extremely strong and really closed things out for the Wolves against the Heat on Sunday. And it's also important to point out that it's a 3-0 that easily could have gone differently. The Wolves did it in close fashion against Brooklyn. They needed overtime to overcome Kyrie Irving, so that clearly could have gone either way. They also beat a Hornets team that was missing Nicholas Batum, who broke a finger in their opener, and Cody Zeller, who missed the game due to personal reasons. They had both played in the Hornets' opening night win 48 hours prior. And then the Wolves also got to face a Jimmy Butler-less Heat team. So all those things, I think it's important to consider them when noting that the Wolves are undefeated, because again, things could have gone very differently. That said, 3-0 is 3-0, and it's nothing to sneeze at. It matters. They are all Eastern Conference teams, and weirdly enough, the Wolves' next couple of games are also against Eastern Conference teams, although probably two of the best three or four Eastern Conference teams when it's all said and done this season. So, you know, the schedule's certainly going to get tougher, and we're only three games in and all that, and we'll get more into the national, I guess, reaction thus far to the Wolves in just a little bit. But it's hard to complain about 3-0 and the fourth best point differential in the league. I think the third best among teams who are undefeated coming into play on Monday evening. So great start for the Wolves. Great start for Coach Ryan Saunders. And here's hoping it continues. Next up, we're going to get a little more in depth on some stock up and stock down from some different Timberwolves players before we go too much further. And then again, we are going to finish with talking through some of those aforementioned power rankings that we're seeing pop up around the league already, which the concept is crazy, but nonetheless, we're going to talk about it. So, but first, wanted to remind you that our friends at Indochino are the world's largest made to measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. All right, let's have some fun with some stock up and stock down for Timberwolves players so far in this young season. The most obvious stock up possible would be Karl Anthony Towns, who is through three games, and the whole three games averages thing is weird, but I guess we'll rattle these off. He's averaging 32 points, 13.3 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks in three games. Perhaps just as importantly, he's only averaging 3 personal fouls per game. And remember, he ended up with 5 in the overtime game against the Nets, which skews things a little. That would be his lowest mark since his second season in the league. Remember, he led the league in personal fouls last year. He's also averaging only 2.3 turnovers a game, which for as much as he's, you know, getting the ball in his hands more often, and especially on the perimeter, that's really good. He's also averaging, interestingly, almost twice as many free throws per game so far as he had previously for his career. For his career, he's at 4.9 free throw attempts per game, and he's averaging 9 attempts per game so far this year, but he's hitting them at a horrible 63% from the free throw line. And we've seen Towns actually visibly laugh at himself twice in the last couple of games. And when he's missing free throws and cheering for himself when he makes them, which it was funny now, but if this keeps happening, it'll be a lot less funny. But he's left some points on the table that would have been huge to have in terms of the game. And then also, I mean, in his scoring column, it would look a lot nicer to have a few extra points a night. He's a career, essentially an 84% free throw shooter for his career. So it's been a little bit weird, but that's one of those things that should straighten itself out here pretty quickly. But Towns, I mean, opening night, he had 36 points, 14 rebounds, and then threes across the board and assists, steals, and blocks. The win over Charlotte, 37 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, and a couple blocks. And then a more pedestrian 2010 night with 23 points, 11 rebounds, still 4 assists and a couple steals and a block against the Miami Heat on Sunday. He's also, his minutes per game is right in line with where he was last year also, after playing heavy minutes in the overtime win last Wednesday and then getting a little bit of a break in the blowout win at Charlotte on Friday. So great start so far for Towns. You know, if they gave out MVP awards after 1 week, he would absolutely be in the top two or three and probably win the award, but turns out that's not how that works. Also, stock up for the Wolves, Josh Okogie. Nothing really eye-popping about what he's done so far in terms of numbers, but the Wolves have been outstanding when he's on the court. He's got gaudy plus-minus numbers, both the raw numbers and the adjusted plus-minus statistics. So those are all positive signs, absolutely. He's not really shooting the ball any better. I mean, so far from outside the arc, Okogie is 2 of 7, which is, you know, it's under 30%. He hasn't necessarily shot the ball all that much better at the rim, there has been some improvement there. And when he's gotten to the free throw line, he's 9 for 11. He's grabbed rebounds at a pretty good rate. It's more the Wolves have just been better when he's on the court, and he's been playing his typical lockdown defense that Wolves fans have gotten accustomed to. So a great start so far for Okogie. The Wolves have simply been better when he's on the court. I can't remember. I think there's only been one stretch so far that was questionable for Okogie, and that was early in that Heat game. Actually, when the lead slipped away in the second quarter, Okogie had a couple stretches. The one, he got a little out of control, threw a ball, tried to shoot the ball from behind the backboard, and there was another time where he tried to throw up a prayer after getting contact, and it was obviously not going to happen for him. So there are still those out of control moments, but for the most part, it's extremely positive to see him, playing as aggressively as he has and everything that Wolves fans have gotten used to seeing. So good start for Okogie. The other two are Jeff Teague, which, you know, I may not have been expecting to say after the first game, but he was so strong in the third game, that it's impossible to ignore how solid he's been overall. And as competent as Napier is as a backup, Teague's actually played a little bit better all the way around. He's now averaging 13 points a game, 5.7 assists. He's shooting 55% from the field. And while he's only made the 1 3-pointer, he's been outstanding from the free throw line, 89% from there. He's 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. So the Wolves are going to need him to average more than 2 3-point attempts per game, as he has so far this year. But if this is the Jeff Teague the Wolves are going to get this season, an engaged Jeff Teague who's willing to take over when he needs to, then the Wolves are going to be, that's going to matter. That's going to be a couple of extra wins over the course of the season if Jeff Teague is as engaged as he has appeared to be so far. One other stock up, we'll mention Andrew Wiggins here, and it's really only because of that stretch at the end of the game on Sunday. He was pretty bad for most of the first couple of games, but I guess the only other thing to say about that performance is if Wiggins keeps that level of confidence up and if he plays like he did at the end of the win over the Heat, then the Wolves have something, and that's so obvious, we probably don't even need to say it, but that's the Andrew Wiggins that Wolves fans have been looking for 5 years. And I know that there's been flashes, and we've said this several times over the past 5 years, but for some reason it feels a little bit more real this time, and maybe it's because the Wolves are 3-0 and everything's sunshine and roses, but here we are. Our two stock downs, I've got two stock downs. First, Trevion Graham. He started all 3 games for the Wolves and was solid in that Nets game. He had that big hustle play where he grabbed a rebound and had an and one that he converted as the Wolves were trying to keep pace and build a little bit of a lead in overtime. But Graham overall has struggled. He had a really bad game against the Heat on Sunday evening. I was going to pull up his stat line here real quick, but it wasn't good. I would expect him to remain in the starting lineup moving forward just because, I just don't know that it's worth making a switch already for Saunders, but it may be more of a nominal, he may be starting more of a nominal role and getting less minutes as Saunders probably will be playing the hot hand, as he should. Graham started on Sunday against Miami, but played only 20 minutes. He missed all 5 of his shot attempts and was a minus 10 on the game, in a game that the Wolves won by 7. He had the team's worst plus minus in that particular game. he's been active and he's okay on the glass, but he also got blown by on defense a couple of times. And those are the types of things, if he's not going to hold his own on defense and at least, you know, make a shot every now and again on offense, then he's not going to be a starter or at least be a heavy minute starter for very long. Off the bench, Lehman ended up playing 26 minutes on Sunday, and he was better, although he also struggled a little bit. He made only 3 of his 9 shots from the field. Okogie played 20 minutes. Jarrett Culver only played 13. He's also struggled so far, but I'm not gonna be crazy harsh on him and give him a stock down at this point. I think Culver's definitely had a few nice plays. He had a nice assist in the pick and roll game on Sunday. So we'll wait another week before we give him a stock down, and hopefully things turn themselves around a little bit for Culver this week. Our second stock down is Robert Covington. Roko has been fine. And this is again, kind of ridiculous after 3 games, cause he has been pretty good. But overall he's had some quiet games. He's been decent on defense, in terms of his numbers. He's averaging 11.3 points, 7.7 rebounds per game. He's shooting only 27.8% from beyond the arc after hitting a couple of deep threes in the first game against Brooklyn. He's really struggled from out there since. So that's going to turn itself around, and Roko's rebounding the ball really well, and that's important for starting at the 4. The Wolves have rebounded their opponents each night, and fairly easily each night as well. And that's in no small part due to Rob Covington. So that's something else to keep an eye on moving forward, is if he can continue to rebound the ball well, and hold things down at the starting 4 spot for the Wolves. All right, next up, we are going to talk power rankings and what the internets are saying about the Timberwolves so far. All right, let's talk about power rankings. As I mentioned at the top of the show, power ranking teams that have played 3 games and in some cases 2 games so far this season is an exercise in absurdity, but it's something that people do, and people that get paid money to write about basketball and talk about basketball do that. So here we go. We're gonna join in and talk about those power rankings, and also mostly because they're favorable for the Wolves, of course. Coming into play on Monday night, the Wolves were the only 3-0 team in the entire league. So therefore had the best record in the league. Of course, they weren't ranked number 1 in any of the power rankings that any of the major power rankings. So the 3 that we're going to talk about today, ESPN had the Wolves ranked worst of the 3. Believe it or not, ESPN has the Wolves ranked 15th in their power rankings. And, that seems a little low. Even if you're just talking about like projecting forward, you know, based on what we know so far, kind of crazy, but even crazier when you scroll up just a little bit in your browser and you see that the Brooklyn Nets are ranked number 14. The Nets are 1-2 and lost to the Wolves on opening night, as we've already talked about. So I guess they've blown fourth quarter leads in all 3 of their games and held on to win only once. But I mean, it's really tough for me to swallow that one. The other one that's a little crazy is that the Wolves just beat the Miami Heat, who are 2-1, but the Heat are ranked 12th. They had been ranked 14th in week 1 coming into the season, and they climbed to 12th. The Wolves had on ESPN's ranking had been 21st and are now 15th. So a little bit crazy that the two teams the Wolves have beaten are ahead of them. I don't know that I would rank them as low as 15th, and the whole, I guess every power rankings could be different with how much we're weighting literally how they've played in 3 games and nothing else versus where we think they are moving forward, but also factoring in obviously what they've done so far. It feels like 15 is not exactly right. That said, things swung pretty hard the other way here with some of the other rankings. NBA.com has the Timberwolves ranked number 5 in the league. It seems a little bit high, but then again, they're the only team in the league heading out of the weekend that had 3 wins. The reasoning that NBA.com gives and the rankings, it appears like we're just done by John Schumann, who does a great job and is a longtime NBA.com writer. He's got Philadelphia number 1, Denver number 2. Hard to argue with those. The Clippers number 3. The Clippers are 2-1 so far. The Bucks at number 4. They've played just twice and are 1-1. The Wolves at number 5. And the preseason rankings at NBA.com had the Wolves at number 22. NBA.coms are nice to actually point out a few significant stats. For instance, the Wolves so far rank 28th in opponent three-point percentage. They've given up 42.4% from beyond the arc, but the league's lowest rate of opponent's three-point attempts have been wide open, only 34%, which means the Wolves' opponents have been making closely guarded shots at an alarmingly high rate, and that likely won't continue unless the Wolves are going to have terrible, terrible luck all season, which, you know, it is the Wolves, so that wouldn't be a shock. Also pointed out in that article is that the Wolves so far have the league's fourth best offensive rating. Their overall net rating is fourth also, and they're playing with the ninth fastest pace in the league. So that's NBA.com ranking the Wolves fifth. That's probably about where I'd have them. It's hard to argue that they're, you know, better than the teams ranked ahead of them. It's you know, the Bucks are 1-1, so, you know, maybe if they were 1-2, I'd have a bigger issue with it. The Lakers are 6th, the Jazz are 7, and this list, the Rockets 8, followed by the Blazers and the Celtics round out the top 10 in the NBA.com rankings. The last power rankings we're going to look at is CBS Sports has the Wolves number 3 in the league, with only Philadelphia and Denver ahead of them. It has the Wolves ahead of the Hawks at number 4, which is, I guess, kind of invalidates this list a little bit, having the Hawks at 4. The Hawks were 2-1 coming out of the weekend, followed by the Clippers, Lakers, Spurs, Suns, and Jazz. And then the Mavs and the Bucks at number 11. So the CBS rankings are a little bit questionable. We'll keep an eye on those and see what those look like moving forward. So I'm feeling somewhere in between, certainly not as high as 3, certainly not as low as 15, and 5 might be a little too high as well. But it just goes to show you, I guess, recency bias, small sample size, how dangerous that can be. And also, I mean, I guess it's a little bit of just a little bit rewarding for Karl Anthony Towns to be noticed for how strong he's played so far this season. He's certainly earned a little bit of recognition, and good for him, good for the Timberwolves. The week ahead, of course, gets a lot tougher. The Wolves will head to Philadelphia after one of those dreaded one-game homestands that the Wolves seemingly have the most of every year in the league. They'll head to Philadelphia on Wednesday after 2 days off. They'll get another 2 days off on the road and play Saturday night at Washington. So kind of a weird week. Two off days, road game, two off days, another road game. And then they'll have a travel day Sunday before hosting Milwaukee next Monday night, November 4th. So kind of a sparse early schedule. The Wolves won't see any back-to-backs until the weekend, until November 10th and 11th here in a couple weeks. So really a chance to make some hay. The Philadelphia game obviously is difficult, and then at Washington is a game the Wolves should win, and then home for Milwaukee will be a really fun one here in 6 days. So we'll obviously talk a lot more about those games. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the Philadelphia game, which will take place Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock Central. So we'll talk about all things Wolves Sixers. That'll be the main focus of that show and what we can expect to see out of that matchup. All right. That's all we have for you today. Thank you once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.